Welcome to Myrtle Moms with Margaritas, the show where we sip cool drinks, talk about hot topics, and certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. Grab your favorite beverage, give your kids the iPad, and take a break, because this episode, we're talking about the importance of emotional well-being as a parent. I'm Jen, Colton and Nolan's mom.
I'm Shannon, Gabriel and Grayson's mom, and we have some really great feedback we've gotten from some of our listeners.
Jen, I know. I mean, obviously, we love our listeners so much, and we're grateful for all the comments that come through. And recently, you know, I saw two that came in that I just couldn't go without shouting out. So Anna Jo Sutt said, "Thanks for keeping me laughing. I listen while running errands. You really help take the edge off of motherhood. Love you guys." And you know what? We love you,
yes.
Anna Jo. And then Middle Sister 8 said, "We love being able to listen to other moms who get it. You all rock." And you know what? Middle Sister 8, you rock too.
Thank you so much.
Keep them coming in, guys. You can always find us at our social media pages, at Myrtle Moms with Margs, both on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
We love to hear all the comments and feedback. Even if it's something that you don't like, let us know so we can fix it and change it.
Definitely.
We're excited. But you know what? We have a very special guest today.
We do have a very special guest today. And like I just mentioned to her, she's dressed for the summertime. So it just brightened our day right when she walked in.
We have summer vibes going on in here today.
Gotta love it. Well, today's guest is an autism mom, dog lover, and former classical musician. She's the author of You Were Made for This, Finding Courage and Intuition for Raising a Child with Autism. In addition to being an author, Rebecca created Sprouting Healthy Families, a resource for helping parents of autistic children take control of their own emotional well-being. Please welcome to the show, Rebecca Jeffries. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be invited.
Yes.
Yeah, and you actually are sort of part of the family. You're a guest writer for VisitMyrtleBeach.com.
That's correct, specializing on activities for autism families.
Yes.
Which we definitely appreciate because we have a lot of families to come to our area that have autistic children. And they feel, you know, it's wonderful to be able to have the environment for all to be able to come and enjoy a vacation.
Absolutely.
You know, with their families.
Yes.
So.
And you actually have an interesting story about your son's diagnosis.
Yeah, it was real late.
I was going to say, you want to expand a little bit upon that?
He was 20 when he got diagnosed.
Oh, wow.
So up to that point, we had been treating symptoms. The first time he saw a neurologist, he was 8. And she says, he doesn't have autism. He has Asperger's. We'd never heard of that, so we didn't know what that meant. And since then, the way that they critique autism and diagnose it has changed drastically. So through 3 different neuropsych exams, we've got 3 different diagnoses. And the last woman is like, of course he has autism, because she was going by the newest description of what autism looks like now. So it was a little difficult to get services for him without that diagnosis when he was younger. But we were fortunate enough to get into a therapeutic high school, which really covered all the bases for us. So that was really helpful.
So that kind of changed the outlook on how you moved about life.
Yeah, absolutely. Because about the time he hit 9th grade, we were bottoming out and losing hope on how this kid was going to get helped. So we had to fight to get him into this high school, but it was worth every tear.
Especially at such an older age, that's hard for not knowing what's going on and how to assist him in the best way.
And that also means we missed the early services, which was so important. And now the numbers are 1 in 36 for kids who have autism. It just keeps going up. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Very scary.
Because I think I just saw, we actually have a sign in our lobby. It was 1 in 54 back in 2019.
Yeah.
So it's, wow.
Yeah.
How much just a few years have changed.
Right.
And I was going through your website earlier, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But one of the things that you mentioned was that you found yourself through this whole process focusing on his health and not your emotional health. How did you come to this realization that something for you internally needed to change?
You know, I was talking with another autism mom recently. We always try to look like we have it all together. We're emotionally stable. We never lose our cool. And, you know, that's not true for any mom.
No.
Exactly.
No,
I was going to say, I think we all can put on, we're great actors.
Yeah. So when I had to start advocating for my son in seventh, eighth grade, I could feel myself just starting to crumble into a million pieces. I just was losing composure. I wasn't able to be civil when I was talking with the schools. Mm-hmm. I was losing my temper.
You referred to yourself as Mama Bear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was getting ugly, and I'm sure that I had a record from the schools that said, watch out for this woman.
Hey, but that can sometimes be good.
Right, I mean, you're only doing what's best. What's best.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all in his best interest, but I really didn't like who I had become, and I had to rethink how I approached things and how I took care of myself, because I always thought, I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. I've got this all under control.
Yeah.
And then something would throw me and then I'd be a basket case again. So
was there one specific moment that you were like, this is it? This is a changing point in my life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had had some mental health issues and we went to the ER to get him assessed just to make sure that we were okay. Well, all of the psychologists in the ER had left for the night and they locked him in. Put him in a bed and kept him there for the night.
Oh my gosh, you'd be so scared.
Oh. I could not sleep that night. I couldn't do. I just wanted to vomit all night long.
Yeah,
I couldn't call in and find out how he was. They wouldn't let him take me home. It's not till a clinician comes in the morning, and that was brutal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that is very scary.
That
I
is
can't imagine.
Scary. Yeah. Well, now you actually are helping others who are struggling and. We know that there are definitely a lot of parents that are struggling with this. Mm-hmm. What have you found that are some of the best practices and ways to help?
Well, I started slow. I would tell my husband around 9 o'clock at night, I'm done. Yeah. I just would start to recognize when I was depleted.
Yeah.
And I would go up to our room and I would light some incense and just lay in bed and watch that smoke, because there was something so comforting and meditative about watching the smoke, how it moved. And that wasn't anything I had done before that. It was just something I discovered. And so I would try to do that as many evenings as I could.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my starting point. And then when JJ started taking horseback riding lessons, I realized I had really set aside of myself, part of myself aside, and that was my love for horses too. And so I started riding while he was riding. I took my lesson, he took his. And then we started bonding over this, and I continued on from there with horseback riding until just a couple years ago. I was just riding regularly, and that 1 hour a week was my time to focus on something that wasn't mommying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It took so much focus to be on the horse, do what I had to do, and to try and find some joy in it, that it was really replenishing my soul.
It was therapeutic from that side. Absolutely.
Well, and we actually know, Jen and I have actually gotten the opportunity. There's a local nonprofit here in our area, the Barnabas Horse Foundation, that we learned a lot more about how horses can really help with that therapeutic of just they picking, you know, the person they're really wanting to work with and how they just kind of ease your soul in a sense.
Yeah.
They are amazing. One of the things that has helped, you know, you both to experience together.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So is this for you an ever-changing process that you're, you know, as it goes along, you find new things to
absolutely
to
find new
release,
things.
Release the stress.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate to have a husband who's extremely supportive and capable. And so I usually go away 1 week a year, which not everybody has that privilege. But I go and stay with a friend in Michigan for the week, and we just have a ball, and I come back like a new person. And that will hold me for most of the year, that 1 week away. So that's one thing I've done. But then moving here was another point of self-care. My husband and I wanted to retire to the beach. He was able to work from home. We're like, let's go now. Both of us need the beach so badly. So right after work, we often go and take a long walk. On the weekends, we go and sit and swim and just talk about therapeutic, the horses, the ocean. I mean,
the ocean has an amazing power to ease your mind.
Yeah,
there's something about it.
Ocean and just sitting in the sun, and just enjoying the sand. And everything.
Right.
There was a blog post on your website that was entitled, I Need Some Space, A Mom's Unspoken Word. And when I read this, it truly spoke to my soul. I have trouble saying no in real life, not only to my children, but to everyone.
Yes.
But definitely, like, how do you help other moms find this empowerment? Because it's something that you do, you know, through your website, through your teachings, through your practices.
Right. I even have a chapter in my book dedicated to this. Yeah, it can be so uncomfortable to ask for something for yourself because you're just so used to giving everything to everyone else and you know that's just what they expect all the time. But you have to dig deep and find some courage and say, you know, now is my time. And usually what used to get me there was that I was ready to explode. And that's too late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too late.
That's when you've hit that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
drop
if you can work it into your schedule and they know when to expect it every week, then you know it's guaranteed and they know what to expect.
So you're almost schedule it out. It's
schedule
okay.
it out. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely okay. If you have to drive them to soccer practice and make their dinner and do their laundry, you have earned that time.
Yeah.
And it gives them time to grow on their own as well, and understand that there will be time when you can't be there every minute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's important for everybody to get that.
Yeah, that's what we all need.
Yeah. We all need that time. Now, do you have any other children?
No.
No.
Just
okay, just the one. So, I'm assuming you and your husband are just so hands-on and just helping. But it's probably built the three of you just closer and just learn.
It has. It has definitely brought us together where I see us as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Not every family is that fortunate. You could I've seen so many sad stories when one of the parents is in denial.
Yeah.
And it just gets really sticky and difficult in that situation. But yeah, we work as a team. We've got a great mind meld going on and we trade off very well. He can read me. He knows when I'm maxed out and he'll step in and help. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It is.
Great relationship.
Yeah,
absolutely. That goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Kind of along those same lines. So your website, sproutinghealthyfamilies.com. I mean, the title of it essentially is, you know, helping families with children on the spectrum or family members on the spectrum
mm-hmm.
gain power and will strong being to be themselves and emotional well-being.
Right.
What resources are available on this website and how do you help families?
Yes. So on the website, there is a large page filled with links to neuropsychologists, other specialists. If you want a spiritual specialist, there's some of those on there. Therapeutic horseback riding, people who are experts in it who you might want to talk to or barns you want to reach out to. Let's see who else is on there. I haven't looked at it in a while. some schools, therapeutic schools, organizations like Champion Autism Network mm-hmm. and SOS Cares. Those are, you know, locals, but there's national firms on there as well that can help you understand your finances for your child. Like, why is it important to have a trust in place? Things about the ABLE account where your child can save money and store money and not worry about taxation
mm-hmm.
or about losing their SSI income,
mm-hmm.
Social Security and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all sorts of good stuff on there. So,
I found it an immense resource and for any parent out there, just a parent with a child on the spectrum for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So thank you for putting that all together.
Yeah.
That's a great spot. And of course you have your book and you told us that your son was the inspiration for this book.
Yes, he was. And it was kind of double-edged. COVID had started and my job as a classical musician was done. There was no concerts, mm-hmm. no teaching, there was nothing. But I was also at a point when I needed to change out. I was done too.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been teaching for 35 years and I was ready to try something new. And so I hired a coach. And we talked at length about, you know, where are my strengths and what do I have to share with the broader community? Because that was my main aim. And he said, you need to write a book. And I thought he was crazy. I was like, nobody wants to hear what I have to say.
It's what Shannon and I say to ourselves
all
the time.
Exactly.
We have a podcast. Does anyone care what we have to say?
Because we're somewhat entertaining.
So anyway, I gave it some thought. I was like, you know, even if I write this book and I never publish it, I've done it for me.
Yes.
Right?
It's therapeutic.
Absolutely. And I did not realize how much I enjoyed writing until I started that book. So my history of writing had been academic. You know, I have two college degrees, so it was always about, you know, citing your sources and making sure your facts are correct and, you know, supporting your thesis and all that. And to write this book, which just really, I just barfed into this computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything I had learned in 20-something years of raising my son and how I helped myself and how I hoped that it would help others. That's what went into this book. Because I know I don't want to see other moms struggle like I did.
Right.
Yeah. With finding help and helping themselves and being a good
so
parent.
So what have you learned in the last 20 years of raising
what
your
have I learned?
Son? Top three.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, top three. You have to put your kid first. This was a difficult one for us. When we became parents, we were older parents. I was 32. And we wanted to do, like, you know, we're going to take them to Disney World and we're going to do, you know, Universal and we're going to do all these exotic vacations. And it became apparent really quickly that this was not going to work for him. Yeah. There's too much stress. There's too much commotion. It's too loud. He can't find the food he likes. You know, there was. So we had to turn around and say, well, okay, we got to think differently mm-hmm. about how we do this. So that set us on this journey of really changing our perspective. So this is point number two.
Mm-hmm.
I, coming from academia, family full of teachers, I expected my son would go through high school, be a scholar, get a scholarship, go to college, change the world, you know, solve world hunger, like a lot of us parents
exactly.
expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this kid by second grade couldn't sit still in his chair. You know, he could read a book. He could tell you, you know, what pie as far as he could go. He could count as high as he could go until you stopped him. I mean, there was no shortage of brains,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't do anything with them.
Yeah, the structure of school just didn't fit his.
It was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we had to change perspective and figure out how do we make this world work for this guy that we know has so much to offer, but it's not going to blossom in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So those were the two big ones that we learned, the perspective taking and putting him first.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to tell you the third one, too.
Okay.
Because that sounds like it's all about him. Kids with autism also are usually in their own little world of thinking, you know, the world rotates around them.
Yeah.
Even, you know, you kind of are, but they're going to be that way whether you are or not. The world rotates around them. That's how they perceive it. So the big long-term lesson for him was to understand that the world does not rotate around him and that he has to learn how to be flexible, leave room for other people, how to be polite. You know, why you can't just walk up to someone and insult them when you think you're just pointing out something
to them.
Right? How to be courteous, how to play with others. You know, the same skills that every parent tries to teach, but it takes a lot longer for it to develop in a kid with autism. I think it was probably till about ninth grade that he didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then once he did, we started seeing the most generous and empathizing child we'd ever seen. It was mm-hmm. just blew our minds. So he had to be taught it, mm-hmm. and he was willing to learn it.
Well, that's wonderful. He was willing to learn, too.
Yeah.
Right.
With the late diagnosis, when you finally got that diagnosis, mm-hmm. what was the sense? Was it
a relief?
I knew this? Was there relief? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was both. Mm-hmm. It was definitely I knew it. But the relief came because then we knew we could apply for disability, and we could apply for supplemental Social Security income, which helps get him in place for when we're gone. Because that's a huge concern for all the parents. What happens when we're gone? Because your child usually can't manage a big house. They may not drive. They may have trouble holding a job. They can't cook for themselves. So you have to start putting systems in place, you know, teaching them to be as independent as they can, but at the same time getting supports in place for when you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's very important. I know you mentioned SOS Cares. Mm-hmm. They're building their new community
yes.
in our area for adults with autism.
Right,
so
and I believe
they
can
live on their own.
The only one in the nation.
It is.
Yeah.
So hopefully there'll be more to come
right.
you know, throughout the right. nation itself.
Right. I just want to add quickly that this is an interesting little tidbit. We chose to move here because we love Market Common
mm-hmm. okay.
and we love the beach. We knew nothing about Champion Autism. We knew
really?
Nothing about SOS Cares.
Wow.
My husband and I came down to close on the house, and my son was like, I don't want to move. Even though he had never left our house up north, he mm-hmm. was, you know, in his little bedroom chamber streaming with his friends, and that was his life. We discovered Champion Autism. So we started texting him, look what's here. Look at the door of this restaurant. Look at this business. They all have stickers saying they are autism friendly. And that changed his attitude completely.
Hmm.
So he came down ready to accept his new home and get more comfortable with it.
Oh, that's a wonderful testimonial.
Yeah, yes. And then we used SOS Cares to help him get his first job. And it's just been really amazing. The whole move has been amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. I know that you also talk a lot about traveling with kids that are on the spectrum or with autism. Tell us, you know, tips, tricks for that type of adventure. Well, traveling in general is an adventure.
Right.
So, with kids or not with kids.
Yeah. The place to find my writing is visitmyrtlebeach.com. And I have, I don't know how many blogs on there, 25 or 30 entries about traveling with autism. And I'm specializing on the Myrtle Beach area because this is where we have so many autism-friendly businesses. But a lot of it applies to broader travel as well. So there is an organization I just recently learned about that helps autism kids fly, where they will take them to the airport and give them an introduction. And unfortunately, I can't remember the name, but I think that's amazing because the airport can make or break your first day.
Oh, I can't imagine.
That's overwhelming as a
completely.
Whole.
If you can't get a hold of that organization and get help, I would recommend a little mock-up at home. Make a little pretend conveyor belt. Have them practice taking off their shoes, emptying their bags into a bucket, collecting their stuff on the other side. You know, those things that stress us out as adults is going to be 10 times worse for them. And then once you get to your gate, I would always try to tell him, you know, we need gate number 6. Can you help me find it? Because if I let him be distracted by everything that's going on around him, the stress level is just going to escalate. So I give him a job. And then he can focus on that and help us get to our seat. He feels a little bit in power and the comfort level is there. You know, you're there to help, but he's going to be in charge too. So that's one of them. The other thing that we discovered with all our traveling was renting a condo versus a hotel. Because you get your own space. They can have their own bedroom. You can have your own meltdowns and not worry about anyone seeing you. You can order food in. If you have food allergies, there's usually a kitchen there. It just gives you so much more relaxed space without worrying about people walking past your door, worrying about strangers being in the hallway, worrying about your kid running off and being in a parking lot. You know, you've got some protection there. Mm-hmm. So those would be the couple of the big ones.
That's extremely helpful. We're coming into the summer months here and people do want to get out and travel.
Well, even with just even children in general, I mean, the condo aspect, it is helpful to be able to have that, just to have their own space and kind of keep to the same routine and structure.
Yeah, exactly. And routine is so, so very important for every kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so you've answered these questions before, but tell our listeners, what is autism and how can we help?
Okay. So autism is a developmental problem and a communication problem. It's neurologically based in your child. It's not the mom's fault if a child comes out with autism. We do not know the cause. Symptoms can show up really, really early. Like you have a rigid baby, lack of eye contact, sensory issues. I've heard people get diagnoses less than 1 year old, which is amazing to me.
Wow.
Yeah. But usually by age 2, if you start seeing you're not hitting the markers, you really want to bring up that question. You know, some kids lose language after they've had it for a while. So you start to see these basic symptoms come in. Some kids have really obvious learning disabilities. Some have self-control disabilities, anger issues. I mean, it's a spectrum because it embraces kids with wide capabilities. And there's two terms that get thrown around and some people like them and some don't, because we're all about words these days. So you have low functioning, which are the kids that probably can't be in a school system and need a lot of assistance. And you have high functioning, which is where my kid is, where he has a big brain, but he can't necessarily live in society so well. So they have their differences. You can see OCD, you can see extreme intelligence, lack of executive functioning skills. I mean, there's a lot of symptoms and they get confused with ADHD and sometimes they overlap. So you have to have a professional diagnose it. And then once you have that diagnosis, you're going to get a long laundry list of things to do, like occupational therapy, therapeutic horseback riding, language skills. Like my son's high school, they called me up and they said, we want him to see the speech therapist. It's like, are you kidding? My kid's language skills are like 3-syllable words or more. He's a walking encyclopedia. And she said, no, not for his speaking skills, his body language skills.
Wow.
Okay.
He could not understand eye contact or personal space or facial expressions. And so they worked with him twice a week, and it made a huge difference. I'm trying to think what else you might see. The sensory things are difficult. Food allergies often are part of it.
Is there any reason that those two are associated, like the food allergies with autism? Is there any science backing, or do you know anything about that?
I don't think so. Okay. There's been conjecture thrown around that wheat is a problem because a lot of kids respond to being taken off wheat, and they respond positively. But I don't think there's any blame game going on with the food versus, autism.
Do they say anything if it's the texture? Because I know that sometimes...
Texture's a problem.
Yeah, that's what... Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I met a mom last summer. This made me cry. She was in tears because her child was basically starving to death because he couldn't stand the texture of any food in his mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So she was trying to map that out for him and figure out, I'm like, it sounds like a feeding tube issue. It's getting so severe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So how can we help?
Yeah. How can you help? There's one thing that would be really helpful. If you're out in public and you see a mom or dad struggling with a kid who looks like they're throwing a bratty temper tantrum, do not scold that parent, because probably what you're seeing is a child having a sensory breakdown. They don't know how to say it. They only know how to act out to try and relieve the stressors from themselves. And there's not much the parent can do. In our household, we always called it the rant. And it took us a long time to learn that you couldn't talk him out of the rant. He's stuck. Mm-hmm. He's in this circle in his head, and he's got to work himself through it.
Yeah.
So we would just wait for it to finish, and then we would have a civil talk.
Yeah.
But it could take up to an hour for a rant to finish.
Mm-hmm. That's just, I hate to say this, but it's almost sad that you have to say that, because just out of respect, everybody parents differently, and every child is different.
Right.
Besides, would you ever be offended if a parent was to see, something happening? Can I help you with anything?
Right.
Is that offensive towards?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Because I know we see it. Mm-hmm. We've witnessed that. But, sometimes on the end of not experiencing that often, we don't want to offend that parent.
Right.
By no means. But we want to be able to lend that helping hand if it's possible.
Right. Absolutely ask.
Yeah.
You give them the power to say no or yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw a BuzzFeed article, and it was they had asked people about the places where you shouldn't bring a child in public. And some of the places, things people were saying just made me so angry that just in general, they were saying, don't bring a child on an airplane.
Really?
How old was the author?
I have no idea.
Was it a 25-year-old who doesn't,
almost all of these answers were things that...
Are you trying to leave them in your house 24-7?
Yeah.
And
one of them was the library. And I wanted to be like, there's books for kids in the library.
Yes.
Why would you bring a child to a library? That's a great place to have a child.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
And in my mind, I'm thinking they're just seeing a child having a fit. Well... Mm-hmm. If they are,
that's
let
life.
Them be.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on
right.
on the other side.
You don't.
Right.
You have no idea. And if you don't like the situation, remove yourself from that situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If it bothers you, you walk away.
Exactly.
Right.
If you're having a bad day, don't take it out on someone
right.
else.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first time we went on a plane with JJ was from Virginia to Hawaii, which sounds like
death
wish.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's a long flight. He was 2. And when we got on the airplane, the looks on people's faces, just the eye rolls and, boy, we're going to have a screamer. Yeah. Well, what I didn't know about my son was that his favorite spot was on mom and dad's lap. And as long as he was there, happy as could be. Mm-hmm. And then we would walk him up and down the aisle. Then after a while, people came to us and said, can I take a turn?
That's so sweet.
That warms my heart.
Yeah. Yes. So it
we
ended
need
up
more
being
people
great.
Like that.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
My first trip out to Hawaii, we had a family next to us, and it was a single dad, and he was taking his 3 daughters, and one of them was very young enough to be in the arms of him the whole time.
Yeah.
And we had the same reaction. I mean, not us, but people around us were like, oh, my gosh, there's kids.
Yes.
We're whole next. Come to find out, their mom had passed away during the labor of this child, and they were Hawaiian, and they were taking the mom's ashes back to Hawaii. These kids were unbelievably good. I could not get over. And they were going through a moment that was so difficult, and you know, there was people around judging them. I'm like, come on, guys, If they get fussy, they get fussy.
Right.
They did not, but
I get antsy and fussy.
I know. You didn't tell me I should bring tissues today.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. But I will never forget that.
That speaks wonders, and it really does. And you know, there are some wonderful people in our area and all around the country, but unfortunately,
sometimes we forget that.
like I said, you never know what a backstory is.
And exactly.
Don't judge.
Right.
Please don't
judge.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I do have a question to ask you before you walked away. So you said you classically trained in the flute. Are you a fan of Lizzo? Do you know who Lizzo is?
I do know who Lizzo
is.
I got a kick out of all the flutists who were posting her playing on the crystal flute at the Tate and C. Miller Collection.
Yes.
Because, you know,
some people were upset about that,
right? Some were upset, yeah. And the rest of us were like, that's fabulous.
I'm a big fan of Lizzo. Love everything that she supports out there.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had to ask if you were a fan as well.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Well, for all of our listeners out there, if you do have any questions or suggestions or feedback, please email us at MyrtleMomsWithMargs@visitmyrtlebeach.com. That's Myrtle Moms with Margs at visitmyrtlebeach.com. We would love to hear from you.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram, please, at Myrtle Moms with Margs. We're on both of them, and we love your feedback. We love hearing from you, and we love to see all the comments and things that you have on our posts. So that's it, guys. Well,
cheers.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is the beach. Here, you're free to be your best self. Because Myrtle Beach is 60 miles made for you. You belong at the beach.
Beach easy.